You didn't invite me as a counselor or as a preacher. Preacher, when there are younger people than me, I said, no, sorry. I came here to teach the word of God, not to counsel. Yeah? Anything you can't get from where I was teaching, not from my mouth. Go and read my book. The only time I agreed, I hardly agreed. Last time I went to preach, preach for SU in Abuja, the man who invited me is a grandfather. So when he says that, please, some people want to see you for counseling, I didn't want to tell him, sir, sorry, sir, you didn't invite me as a counselor. You know, you could respect your seniors. So he said, I said, okay, sir. And of course, I counseled a number of people. The first one was good counsel. The second one was a waste of my time. I felt like I said, oh, boy, get up. Go, go, go. Now, I'm going somewhere. People think that every time people came, Jesus just used to talk. Now, lie. Go and read your Bible well. There are times Jesus enters the room. Peter and John will stand at the door. Hello, can we help you? Yes, we want to see the Lord, Savior of the world. Did he give an appointment? What do you mean? He's dying for all our sins. They wait till he's dead, right now. No, really. Oh, people think that the man just is the walking. No. I just say, look, wait there. How do I know? It's in the scriptures also. He said, let the little ones come to me. As for the senior ones, hold them back. It's not your Bible. Some women were coming with it. You know, everybody wanted to come. Peter blocked one side. I can imagine Judas saying, I don't even pay. They blocked the road completely. Jesus made an exception only for the little ones. Some people want to do all kinds of good works. Every preaching program, you are the sponsor. Praise God. Every child that can't go to school, you are the sponsor. At the end of the day, your own children can't even go to school. You know, I said it's good to be generous, all right? I'm not saying it's wrong, but it's not everything that requires a participation. Every wedding, you did there. You're in the ushering committee. Every funeral, you're among the grave diggers. You're there doing good for everybody. You know, say, hey, what happened? He died. How old was he? He was only 48. And he was such a nice man. Yes, it is his niceness that killed him. He didn't know when he was supposed to sleep. He didn't know when to hold money and say, Pastor, this one is my children's school fees. That church foundation go with. Uh-huh. Pastor Bang, did you say that? Yes. The Lord is good. Listen, let me tell you the truth. The problem with Christians, they are afraid. They are afraid to offend God. They are afraid not to have their heavenly account full. They are afraid. They don't know that God itemizes the good works they are supposed to do. They don't realize it. We are not doing good works. That's the point I'm saying all of these things. Because we want to achieve acceptance, thank you for that word, with God. No. What we are doing is that we are living out the life of Christ that has been poured into us because of the faith that we have in Him. Do you get the point I'm making? I won't preach to you because I don't want to die and God will ask me for your soul from me. No. I will preach to you because you need Jesus Christ. And if you needed money, wouldn't I give you? I don't know what I get my point. If I'm a good man, I'm a kind man, and you needed money and I could give you. If you need Jesus, is it not more appropriate for me to give it to you? Please, I hope you are following what I'm trying to explain. Let me tell you what God did in Christ Jesus. For the next few minutes, I will explain something. All right? There are two things I want to explain, then we'll close. The word spirit, let me say it again. What is the word spirit? Spirit talks about... Now, I said to you before, the use in the Bible is very, very wide. Very diverse. Very, very diverse. The way the word spirit is used in the Bible. Very diverse. For example, the Holy Spirit. That's how people get confused. They start arguing that the Holy Spirit is a person or a force. Those of you who did physics, you can ask this question. Is light particles or waves? Now, let's leave that one there, all right? Those who did physics, you know what I'm talking about, all right? Now, is the Holy Spirit, you know, a force or is a person? One of the things that caused that confusion is because they mix all kinds of things up. When I say God gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask him, that one is a force, not a person. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the Greek, they're slightly different in the expressions, all right? That one is a person because if the Father has a name, the Son has a name, come on, the Holy Spirit won't be the exception in that list. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He said, I will send you another comforter who will be with you. It's not a force hanging around me. He has to be a person. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? But oftentimes you hear the word Spirit of God and Holy Spirit, or that in the Greek there's a slight difference, and people think he's talking about the same thing. But it's not. When he says Spirit of God, sometimes what it simply means is like, if I breathe, that's the breath of Banky. Are you getting my point? In the same manner, God breathes, shum, and what comes out of him is called the Spirit of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you see, the effect of that, all right, it differs. It can move a mountain. And they said the Spirit of God moved the mountain. It does not mean that the Holy Spirit came and chiseled out the mountain. It means God released his breath, and the mountain disappeared. I'm going to something. It's so diverse the way it's used in the scriptures. One of the ways it's used also, all right, is this. Inside a man, inside the woman, inside a person, there is something that is pushing you. It's called the spirit of a man. Sometimes Pentecostals don't get it right. They say, that is your real person. No. The spirit of the man refers to the driving force in his life. So it says the spirit of a man will bear his infirmity. What does that mean? If a man, very good example, what is the spirit of a footballer? Goal. I don't know what I get the point. The spirit of a footballer is what? Goal. So you see, what is his name? Give me one. Messi, all right? Uh-huh. Or Ronaldo, whichever one of them. He's running. Somebody tackles him. He falls. He rolls. Then he sees that he still has an advantage with the ball. What does he do? He jumps up again. If he lies down there, it's because he sees he has lost the advantage, so he needs the penalty. You know now? If he sees that he has the advantage, he jumps up and continues running. Even though that thing hurt him badly. It's called the spirit of a man will bear his infirmity. The thing he's pushing for, do you get my point? It's making him carry on despite his injuries. That's the meaning of the expression, the spirit of a man will bear his infirmities. I'm explaining something. Now, in the same manner, every human being has a spirit that is inside him. It may be cool, it may be covered, it may be expressed, but it's pushing him in a particular direction. What does that mean? It gets to a point, either it's going to the left or the right. That spirit is what decides. For example, if all I'm looking for in life is where everything is cool, if I go to the left or right, you won't realize it, but I check which one is cooler. Without you seeing it, my whole body gravitates to one side. You don't know how I made that decision. And I'm saying to you, everybody has something inside him. Everybody has it. It's a seed. When you use the expression seed, it simply means that the manifestation is what you will see. The thing itself, you don't see it. Now, I'm bringing out something here. Anytime you give your life to Christ, anytime anybody gives his life to Christ, the seed of God, please follow me, the what? Seed of God is dropped inside him, is dropped inside her. Please, understand that. That thing is the spirit of God. Now, you understand what I mean by spirit of God now? It's not talking about the Holy Spirit as a third person, you understand? It's talking about that seed of God. And that's why Paul will tell you that if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Because once you believe, the spirit of Christ dwells inside you. What do I mean by the spirit of Christ? It is the reason, listen to me, why if no strong influence is put on somebody, especially, you see what I mean in a moment, like a temptation as an example. Let me give my strong influence. Let me quickly explain that. For example, somebody is at home. Every day you wake up, your mother is telling you stories. You know, you don't want me to see my grandchildren. You know, that kind of thing. Pressure every day. They are pushing you to go and marry when you don't want to marry. Are you getting my point? That's the thing I call what? Temptation. Or the young man. All your friends are making it. One has built a house. We went the other day. You want them to say, my son is not is the one that's not doing well. Those are things I call temptations. Now, if the temptation is not strong, or the person knows how to handle the temptation no matter the strength, listen to this. The spirit inside him, the spirit inside her, are you getting what I'm saying? Pushes that person in one particular direction, and that's towards the will of God for his life. I don't know whether you get my point. That's how it works. That is, if you give the person options, the day before he gave his life to Christ, he has a different motivation. The day after he gives his life to Christ, the word of God is suddenly sweet to him. He hasn't heard that word much before, beyond the one that says, believe and be saved. But after that, the seed, the spirit inside him, starts pulling him towards the word of God. It's not an extra effort. The world and Satan has to work hard to push him in the other direction. That's why friends start calling. Pressure comes. Satan says, guys, move this guy for me. They don't know it, but they are doing the will of Satan. Okay, just this last time. Come on, roll with us now. They start pressuring him. That's why he needs guidance, he needs training. But I can't talk about that in details now. The point I'm going to make is that he has that seed. And my duty as a preacher, and the duty of every preacher, and elder Christians, you understand, if you are older than the person, people who are senior to him, is to help him develop that spirit so that he cooperates with the spirit rather than the temptations of the world. I hope you are getting my point. This is a mistake we make when we don't understand this. We think we teach him how to do good works to attain righteousness. No! We teach him that inside you now dwells the spirit of God. And you will discover that if you train that spirit, the good works that will come out of you will be a result of the righteousness that God has placed inside you with that spirit. A young man came to me once. I've used this illustration before. He said, I have a problem. I said, what's the problem? That he discovers that these days, I think he has heard the word of God. He's been taught. He said, he discovers that these days, when anytime he gives, you know, helps somebody, that it makes him happy. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. It makes him glad. Anytime he gives and helps somebody, it makes him glad. So he was worried. He thought that if you do good, you understand my point? You know, just like if you heard me preach, that don't count on it and don't hold on to it as to use it as bargaining chip with God. And I mean it, you shouldn't. But he was worried because he thought that his good feeling was something like that. So he came to me. So I asked him simply, when you do these good works, when you want to pray, do you quote them for God? He said, no. I said, when you do these good works, do you hope that that person will do back for you later? He said, no. So all that happens is that you are happy and you are joyful that you gave somebody money. You see somebody who's in need, you gave him. You'll be able to reach out and help people. He said, yes. I said, congratulations, you have been saved. I told him, my brother, enjoy it. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I said, enjoy it. Why did I tell that story? You see, suddenly, instead of receiving, being the thing that's making him happy, now what gives him joy is what? Giving. Therefore, you see that the manifestation of the spirit inside him is showing up. You are getting my point. If he's well taught, if he's well trained, God prospers that young man, he will be a great giver. And he will not remember to count what he's given. That's true Christianity. He won't go and pray and say, Lord, I thank you because today I was very happy. Because I'm very happy, you will do things for me. Do you understand my point? No. It just goes to prayer. Thank God for joy. Thank God for gladness. I say, Lord, I need you to help me with this. Help me in the name of Jesus Christ. It doesn't cross his mind. Because you see, the giving he gave, all the gifts he was given, he thinks it is a nice thing to do. I don't know whether I get my point. I hope you're following my point. He enjoys it. He enjoys it. I don't like the one we teach Christians these days to make it look as if, you know, you do this thing, just, it may be painful, you may be crying, but one day God will pay you back. I feel bad. If it's painful and you are crying, please don't do it. If you don't delight in being a blessing, forget it. It means you have not been well trained. And you won't be blessed much by the things you are doing anyway. I hope you're following my point. Listen to me, this is what God did. Christianity, in Christianity, he puts his seed into you. That's what I'm trying to explain. He puts his seed, the seed of God dwells in you, and it starts moving you in a particular direction. And that direction, in the context of what we're talking about today, is the direction of good works. Are you seeing what I'm saying? The good works don't make you righteous. They don't. They are a manifestation of the fact that you have a relationship with God. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. For example, Peter spoke up once. He preached in the midst of a congregation in the open amongst people who were wondering what was going on in the upper room. And when they noticed the way Peter was speaking and the other apostles with him, they just took note that they had been with Jesus Christ. They were unlearned people. What am I saying? If you have been with God, godly characters flow out of you. Please, I hope you're following my point. I gave you an example before, jealousy. It is not possible for me in life to be jealous. Let me tell you how, if you want me to be jealous, you know what you do? First, take a stick and knock it over my head. Then give me alcohol to drink. While I'm drunk, with my head bashed in, give me cocaine. Then send me to sleep. Then inside the sleep, cause me to dream. Maybe there's a chance I'll be jealous. It's maybe you. See all the things you have done. And it's still a chance. Why? I have realized one thing. One, everybody has a race is running in life. They have a saying in Yoruba land. They say the one you love, I don't love, is the very reason we don't contribute our money together to marry the same woman. It's a proverb, very loaded. Where you are going is not where I'm going. At your age, your mates are flying private jets. If I start flying private jets, how will I be in Enugu every Saturday? Will I fly from number one Chime Avenue to Independence Layout? In case you don't know, the distance between here and Independence Layout is just a wrong way for the thing to take off. I don't have any mates. I was sent to do what I'm doing. If you are doing your own, it's your business. At your age, your mates are already making 1 million naira a week. No, it's not 1 million. JJ Okocha was earning maybe 10 million. Tell me correctly. Ain't going to buy football because it does not edify my congregation. How would you like if I come down here? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All of you go call police. Say, help Pastor Banky. How much they pay him for playing football doesn't concern me. All that concerns me is that you are blessed. I can't be jealous. Of who? For what? Especially since I know that a man can receive nothing except it is given to him from above. I know that. Why would I be jealous of anybody? Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? I need to first believe the lies of Satan. So you see, I'm bringing an issue here. Once I have understanding of the ways of God, jealousy for me, that is lack of jealousy, not being envious, it's not a special thing. It's just a normal result of allowing the Spirit of God inside me to blossom. Nothing special. You know, the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. It is not about struggling not to fulfill. It is where you are walking. If you are walking in the Spirit, the desires of the flesh... I don't know how to say it again. Let me say, they don't concern you. That's what I'm talking about. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It means simply to have... There are many ways, all right? But for now, I just want to explain this. It means simply to have a relationship with God by constantly attending to his word. Letting that word describe the seed that he placed inside you. Listen, if you focus on it, you will do right. Many times people want to know, what is the will of God for my life? I said, there are questions that you shouldn't ask. The will of God for your life, take a Bible, read it. Listen, what did I say? Take a Bible and do what? Read it. Believe what is inside. The will of God will come out of you naturally. Oswald Chambers said, if you have to consciously know the will of God, you are a sinner. The first time I read it, I didn't understand. But as I began to meditate and understand, as I began to grow, I understood what he was saying. He said, listen, that only a sick man understands what health is like. Do you get the point? The way I like to say it is that if you're asthmatic, you know what it means to be able to breathe freely. Those who have never had their respiratory, that's their airway, obstructed for any reason, they don't understand free breathing. I pray you understand that. It's a normal part of their life. They wake up, they take it for granted. They don't think anything of it. It's a sign they are what? Healthy. Now, walking in the will of God, Oswald Chambers says, it's normal for a child of God walking with God. It's not, Lord, should I preach? He said, no. Preach just comes out of him. I don't know whether I get the point. Preach just comes out of the fellow. Please, I'm bringing out something here. Talking about good works. It's a reflection of the fact that God has dropped his seed inside your heart. The reason why Christians don't do good is because they forget. Tell your neighbor, forget. They forget. They forget. They forget. They forget that they have been cleansed from their evil ways. They forget. They get deceived. The world, you know, shrouds them, confuses them with all the razzmatazz around. They forget. For example, let me give you a very good example. All right? Oh, this one is so perfect. They forget that they have been cleansed. They forget that curses have been removed from their lives. So they think they can be poor. So they start stealing. I don't know what I heard. I said. Let me say that again. When a woman forgets this truth that we have been preaching, that you have been set free in Christ Jesus, when the person forgets that truth, that you can never be poor in life, when the person forgets the truth that Jesus died and guaranteed your destiny as a result of his sacrifice, they entice him to steal. Because country is bad. You never can be sure. They put him in charge of pension fund and 10 billion naira disappears. I hope you're getting my point. But if he remembers that I have been washed, I have been cleansed, my future is guaranteed. It's in the hand of God. So let's steal this money. So what do we do with it? All we do is invite a curse into our lives. What do we do with it? It can't guarantee future. Forget it. Can't. Wealth can grow wings and fly away. And peradventure, it is too heavy to fly. They put us in prison. Don't worry about it. Say, what about the future of your children? Say, take no thought for the morrow. What we shall eat, what we shall drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed. So the man does not steal because he remembers what Jesus has done for him. I hope you're getting my point. Listen, let me read this. I close with it. I'll talk about that forgetting next time. Because of time, I want to stop now. But let me read this one and I will close with it. If you are following me, say amen. Let's read the one where, okay, I said we'll read it. The book of James. Let's go to verse 26. James chapter 2. Now, we'll read this again next time, and I will discuss that forgetting thing. But what James was explaining is that faith without works is dead. In verse 18, he says, someone may well say, you have faith, and I have works. He now challenged the person. He says, show me your faith without the works. Is it possible? He said, and I will show you my faith. How? Say it loud. How? By my works. He said, try and show me your faith and don't use works. If I want to show you my faith, I'll use my works. He said, if you go down to verse 20, he said, but you are willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless. He said, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working, how? with his works. And as a result of his works, of faith was perfected or shown to be perfect. That's what he was saying. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, it was faith, and that faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, he now says something in that verse 26. He said, just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. I'll get back to it next time. Let me just introduce it. What did he say here? He was saying simply, faith is not tangible. You can't see faith by itself. By itself, you can't. It's like light. You know light? If light is flowing around here, you know you can't see it. Those of you who did physics, you can't see light. You know the only way you see light? When it bounces off an object. That's it. You cannot look at where is light unless you see. You can see where light is shining from because the rays are entering your eyes. But the light itself, you can't see it. It has to hit an object for you to know there's light in the air. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, faith is like that. It's not tangible. Love is like that. It's not tangible. The only way you can see love is by its deeds. Right? We call it the labor of what? Love. The only way you can see faith is by what? Works. Are you getting my point? It is not the works that justifies, but the only way by which the faith that justifies is demonstrated is by the works that come out as a result of that faith. The word spirit there, I told you, has many meanings. Literally in that place, what James said is that, because that word, all right, pneuma, is the same word for air, the same word for breath. So it says, just like the body without the breath is dead, so faith without works is dead. That is, if somebody is alive, how do we check? Ask doctors, ask nurses, you check whether he's still breathing. If he's not breathing, he's dead. In the same manner, is your faith alive? Check the works. The works don't make you, get my point. It is not the works that makes you, but they are the manifestation of the fact that your faith is real and your faith is alive. Are you getting my point? So for Christians, what does good works do for you? All right? This is what it does. It lets you know your faith is alive. That was why I said at the beginning, there's no Christian who is really walking by faith who truly is not a generous person. Are you seeing that? There's no Christian who's really walking by faith that will not pray. Because if you can't call people that you know, you have to call the God that you know. Do you get the point? That's how good works is. If I claim to truly love somebody or love something or believe in something, it is shown in how I financially participate in that person's life. That's what Christians must understand. It is not that you give, then go and say, hey, look at your money, let me multiply it. No. If you are walking by faith, it will reflect in every aspect of your life. Like I said to Christians, is the world working in your life? You don't check it first of all by checking how much results you have gotten. Let me end with this. The first place you know the world is working in your life is how much character it is developing in you. Let me end with that. I'll read it next time. That's forgetting thing. Go and read it. The first sign that the world is working in you. It's not that they gave you money. Praise God, Pastor. The world is working. Yes, that's I believe in this word. I've been getting jobs after the other. It's not the first sign. That's the second, third, or fourth. The first sign is that before, Pastor, I did fear. Fear makes me tell lies. Now I'm not afraid of anybody. So why am I lying to anybody? I don't know where I get the point. The first sign that the world is working in you is character. You start getting better. You are kinder. You are more patient. You love people more. Do you get my point? If you the same lie you told 8 years ago, you are telling today, I don't care how fat your library is and how many Pastor Banky messages you have on your mobile phone. You have not grown at all. You say, I know this word will work. Oh boy, there's a problem with that work. It's not working yet. Because the first place it works is where? On your heart. And the first manifestation is the improvement of your character. If you are walking with God, it's called walking in the Spirit. You will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Are you getting my point? And the fruit of walking in the Spirit is, that's what he was saying. This is the fruit of walking in the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, goodness. Are you getting my point? That's how it is. It's not a matter of law. It's just a matter of the fact that the word is working upon the seed of God that is inside you and it's producing something.